Hello, and welcome to the Agape House of Worship weekly podcast. Through this podcast, we hope and pray that you will be equipped and empowered to live the life that God has planned for you. If you are blessed by this message and would like more information, please visit our website at www.agapehousenj.org. Thank you, and God bless.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. To have your way this morning. Have your way in me. Have your way in the hearts of your people here today. Lord, I surrender my mind. Use it, Lord, to speak to your people. I surrender my mouth. Lord, use it to speak to your people. Holy Spirit, remind me everything that God has shown me so that your people will receive this word and they'll be blessed. Father, let us not be hearers only, but doers of the word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You're welcome once again into God's presence. I just believe I have a word from the Lord for us this morning, and I pray that our lives will be changed and will never remain the same again. Amen. The message is titled, "The Promise of Entering His Rest Still Stands." Amen. That promise still stands. This morning, for some of us, it might be a reminder, something we need to hear again and be convicted of. For others, you're hearing it for the first time, and God wants you to know He wants you to enter His rest. It is a promise that He's given His children, and I just pray that you'll receive it and you enter His rest in Jesus' name. Amen. There is, and I just want to give us a little bit of background before we continue with the message here. There is parallels between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen? I believe somewhere in Colossians, Apostle Paul reminded the church and said, look, everything that happened in the Old Testament is a shadow. Amen? A shadow of what Christ came to do. At another point, Jesus called it, one version calls it, the Old Testament being a prototype, amen, of what Christ came to earth to do. And so if you look at that scripture in Hebrews 4, if we can open to it, I believe we should have it on the screen. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Let's read it together on 2. 1, 2. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Amen. So, the writer of Hebrews here begins to explain that the same promise, again, a shadow, right, in the Old Testament with the new, of having received this good news, of having received this word, of having received this promise. And it reminds us there, be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Now, how did they fall short of it in the Old Testament? The people of God heard the word, and they did not mix it with faith. They heard the word, and maybe they received it at one point, but it did not benefit them. They heard the word, and at some point they felt, well, maybe God really didn't mean what He said. Look at verse 2 there. And I believe that should also be on the screen. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So we can see there that mixing the word of God with faith, trusting God to do what He said He would do, is the only way the Word of God will work in our lives. Amen? And I just pray at the end of today's message, this will become clear to us, and we'll know God's plan and purpose for our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit of background. If you look at Numbers 14, maybe start from 13, if you want to go back home to study it, I believe around chapter 13, Moses sends out spies from about each tribe to go out into the promised land that God had promised them from the time that they left Egypt. And when they got back, their report was there are giants in the land. There's too much for us to handle. We looked at them and we were like grasshoppers with these people. They're giants, and we can never defeat them. And in chapter 14, it got so bad with the way the people were feeling, having spent all this time in the wilderness, that they began to cry out to to Moses, their leader, and says, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Follow along here. These are the people God had promised to bless. These are a set of people God had given his word, okay, that he'll be faithful to them. These are a people who had been told there is a promised land, and they had gone out. They'd sent spies to look at this promised land. But all they saw in the land was defeat, was giants, was failure, and they began to cry out, Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. Moses, you've made us bring out our sons, our daughters, our wives out into the wilderness just so we'll perish out here. We need to raise a leader for us again so that that leader might take us back to Egypt. Because Egypt, we know. Lord, have mercy on us. Okay? And they wanted to go back to Egypt. At a point, they wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. Okay? They felt, if you don't allow us to choose a new leader and go back to Egypt, we're going to stone you and get rid of you. That way we can do our own thing. And of course, we know the story that Joshua and Caleb told them, no way, our God is greater. Amen? Our God is stronger. If God is with us, then we can take this land. Amen? Amen. And Moses and Aaron fell to their face and began to plead with God to have mercy on this people. But we hear this story, and many of us will say, what a terrible thing, right? How can God give a word? How can God give a promise? How can God give us a message so powerful and actually show us the future, and you wrestle with God and you disobey God? Because that was disobedience, right, to the word of God. But don't we mirror what they did? A lot of times in our lives, we mirror what they did. They could not make it into the promised land because of unbelief. They could not make it. Unbelief kept them from entering into the promised land. There was a generation of them who missed God's promise because they had unbelief in their lives. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. And if we say they had unbelief and that generation was lost, then what is belief? Right? What does it mean to believe? Believe simply means to trust that a statement is true and that the person who said something can do what they said they'll do. That's it. That a statement is true and the person who said they'll do it can do what they said they'll do. So, whenever you and I do not believe the word of God in the Bible, whenever you and I decide to be disobedient of the teachings and scripture, we're saying we don't believe what God says. We're living a life of unbelief. We need to believe God for who he is. Amen? Amen. And bring that to our day. Bring that to this generation. If God tells you you're going to get a job, I'm your provider. In your place of prayer, you receive a word that God's going to provide for you. And then the first 10 interviews you go to, you don't get a job. Does that mean God was untrue? No. Amen. Amen. That just means that job that God has meant for you is not there yet. You have not reached that place where you receive God, what God has provided for you. Amen. Amen. So we need to change our hearts. We need to change our minds to begin to believe God for what and who he is. Amen. I'm going to share with us 5 ways to enter into God's rest. 5 ways. And this has blessed me in my life, so I want to share it with you. And I just wanted to give that background first to let us know that we all struggle with belief. We all struggle with trusting God. But we can never enter into God's rest if we don't believe God for who he says he is. Amen? Those people, they complained, they murmured against God and against the people of God. And I have to tell you, God's work can only start when our own work finishes. God's work, I'll say it again, God's work can only start when our own work finishes. If you go to verse 7 of that scripture we read, Hebrews 4, and verse 9, and we'll read 10 with it also. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. Amen? So you have to rest from your work so that you can enter into God's rest. And this is what I'm going to show us today. There's five of them. There's five of them. And these have really blessed me. If you're going to enter into God's rest, which is God's promises, you have to get to a place where you can pray and ask for grace to be able to do these five things. And you'll go from strength to strength in Jesus' name. Amen. The first one is the Word of God. You have to rest in the Scripture to receive the promise of God. There's that scripture in Matthew 13 that talks about the seed fell on. It's a parable of the sower, right? And the seed fell on the rocky ground, but it could not have deep root. It couldn't have deep root. But we need deep root. We need very deep root to get into God's rest. Amen? We need very deep root. So you need to get in the Word of God. Make sure you're reading Scripture. You're praying for grace that the Holy Spirit will reveal the Scripture to you, that God's speaking to your life, even through Scripture. That's how you know God's promises for you. Okay? For the people of God who left Egypt, the word was, I'm taking you out of captivity into freedom. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen? A place of peace. A place where you live in homes you did not build for yourself. That was their promise. They received that word. What is God's promise for you? What has God spoken into your life? What are you finding in Scripture? I know that totally transformed my life. At a point, it was, I would never leave you nor forsake you. I needed that word in my life. Amen? And that went a long way. For you, it might be like something like, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Amen? God's embrace is real. By his stripes, I am healed. The word of God is able to change your situation for the better. Amen. You enter God's rest knowing him. Again, still on the word. The only way to know God for who he is and what he's able to do in your life is by knowing the word. Not what your mother knows about the word, not what your father knows about the word, not what your prayer partners know about the word, but what you know for yourself. Amen? This is the sword of the Spirit. Let us get into the Word of God. Find devotionals that speak to your situation. If it's healing you need, find scriptures that speak to that. If it is breakthrough in one area or another, read about victories that the people of God have won. Look for scripture that says you are victorious. Amen? And that victory will be yours in Jesus' name. Again, they did not mix. They did not mix the word that they received with faith. That was what they did wrong, the children of God. We need to receive the word and believe it because God said it. Amen? because he who said it is faithful. Number two is prayer. Prayer. Pray to enter into his rest. That scripture says the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I wanted to use that version because it says it is powerful and it is effective. It doesn't say there that that person is powerful and effective, does it? It says the prayer of such a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's what we need to get into our lives. It will change our lives completely. We can enter rest knowing that our breakthrough, our answered prayers, God working for us is not out of our own strength or out of our own ability, but because if I'm righteous and I pray, that type of prayer is powerful and effective. Amen? It's an operative prayer. It is a prayer that can go and touch situations wherever they are. And that's where we need to get to. When we begin to pray, when we begin to seek God in prayer, when we begin to know God's will concerning prayer, then our situation changes. We enter God's rest. Amen? For them, it was Canaan. For us, it might be that you'd receive healing. For me, it might be a promotion so that I'm more blessed. I receive more so that I can be a blessing to God and to God's people. Amen? Prayer is very important in entering God's rest so that the enemy no longer tosses us to and fro. What does that scripture say? Be not anxious for anything, but by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. That's how you rest. That's how you enter into that promise of rest, where you're no longer doing the work for your situation. Be not anxious for anything. Praise the Lord. God is our refuge and he's our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. That's what prayer does. It brings you into a place where God's your refuge, is your rock, is your protector. Amen? Amen. So we've talked about the Word bringing us into God's promise, which is God's rest. We've talked about prayer. And righteousness is number three. Righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. Amen. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's found in 1 Peter 1. Be holy. Let us go back to the very beginning and find out what it means to rest. I don't think I have that in the slides, but if you could open Genesis chapter 2. We're going back to the beginning now. Genesis chapter 2. And, okay, we'll start from 1 and read up to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Praise God for that. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his works. So everything that pertains to life and godliness was completed in that 6 days. Praise the Lord. It says God rested from all his works. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the works of creating that he had done. Praise the Lord. On the seventh day, God decided, I will rest because all this work is finished. And I mean all of the work. All of what we need in Christ Jesus was finished when God completed his work. What did he do with the seventh day? He made it holy and he rested. Amen? You need rest. You need to make your Sabbath a holy day. Amen? That's why I put righteousness there. Some versions will say he declared it as a Sabbath. What does holiness mean? If you research holiness, it means literally a day dedicated to God. That's Sabbath. That's how you rest. A day dedicated to God. It's not a day to watch TV. It's not a day to just lay in bed all day. I'm resting. That's okay. Amen to that. If you have a day, you take a day off, you just want to relax, get away from all the trouble, from the stress of work and all that, that's awesome. But the rest God took here, I want us to understand, is a day that he made holy, dedicated to God. This is how we rest. This is how we enter into God's rest. You need to make it a righteous day. You need to make today, and today I don't mean this Sunday, the 13th of August, I mean your life, a life of holiness, a life of righteousness. Amen? Because when sin is removed in your life, when obedience enters into your life, when holiness enters into your life, then you can experience God the way he wants you to experience him. Amen? And in the presence of God, there's what? Fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see that powerful statement that even God, it was like that scripture where God swore by himself. In this case, he dedicated a day to holiness. And this is how we enter into God's rest, by entering a life of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I also want to encourage us to make every effort to enter into this rest. Make every effort. The Holy Spirit will help you. Amen? When you begin to live a life of righteousness, God will make sure he takes care of everything concerning you. He will take care of your health. He will take care of the food you need to eat. He will take care of all that concerns you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's all about entering God's rest. It's all about entering God's rest. Number four, thanksgiving and worship. You will enter into God's rest when you have a life of thanksgiving and worship. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of the holy of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. It's such a powerful thing to have a life of worship. We all know that story, Paul and Silas. They began to worship God, giving thanks to him. Praise the Lord. Isn't it interesting that Paul didn't start to say, "Do you know who I am?" to the palace guards? Do you know, since Jesus Christ, I'm the greatest apostle? I need this favor, or I need that favor. Or sending messages to the leaders and of the church to continue to pray for him to be set free. What did he do? They began to worship. They began to lift up the name of God. And in their worship, the presence of God came, the glory filled the house, and all the chains were broken. He was set free because of the presence of God. Amen? Amen. So we need to cultivate a life of thanksgiving and of worship so that we might receive God's rest, so that we might enter into God's rest. There's another powerful story I'd like to share. And you know about Joshua. You know about the wall of Jericho. You can read that in Joshua 6. They began to worship God, shouting hallelujah around the wall. In fact, there's some estimates says that that wall is big enough to take chariots of horses going either way. That's how thick the wall was. And they began to pray. These are warriors. These are powerful fighters. These are people who have won battles day in and day out. What did they do? They began to worship God. They began to give him praise. Amen? And the wall came down. The wall came down. The wall came down. As you worship God, the walls will come down in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Be the wall of your enemy. Be the wall of attacks from the pit of hell. Be it the wall of ill health. Be it the wall of financial trouble. Those walls are coming down in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to share another story with us that I feel is equally as powerful. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this is about Jehoshaphat. I actually want us to read a portion of it because it will help drive home the point I want to make. Praise the Lord. So that's 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's somewhere close to the 21. Let's start from 21. I think we'll read 21 and 22. If you can put that up on the screen. If you're there, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is what the king did. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." It goes without saying that if you know the rest of that story, the Moabites, all of their enemies, got confused and they began to attack each other until there was no man standing. All of their enemies were destroyed as they worshipped the Lord. Have you seen a pattern here? Have you seen the power of thanksgiving and worship? Praise the Lord. There is a pattern. And if you want to rest in your life, if you want God to take control of every situation, as we've seen in the life of Paul and Silas, as we've seen in Joshua, now with Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah, you need to have a life of worship and thanksgiving. Amen? What happened here is like this nation, America now, maybe we have an enemy who's just saber rattling, just making a lot of noise about, "I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to attack you," and none of you will stand by the time I'm done with you. Maybe you've heard something in the news that's similar to that. It is well. And so President Trump tweets, 9 p.m. tonight, I'm going to address the nation. I'm going to address the nation 9 p.m. tonight. So all of primetime TV is tuned in, cable news, everybody, they get on there. And he announces, "We have this guy threatening to destroy us. We're people of God. I've had consultations with my generals. I've talked with everybody. I've gotten advice. So this is what we're going to do as a nation. We're going to get Sister Tosin and the worship team. They're going to stand out here and they're going to lead us in 24 hours of praise and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's exactly what happened. Seriously. Amen. And they didn't need to raise a finger. I know our choir wouldn't mind to do that for our nation. Amen. The people of God didn't need to raise a finger. God fought on their behalf. People of God, you need to enter into a place of rest where you stop fighting, where you stop going from pillar to post, where you stop going to the next place where there might be deliverance. Just step into God's grace. Amen? Step into His promise and your breakthrough is right there for you. In Jesus' name. That is what His word says. If you will not doubt, if you will trust Him and you will not doubt, if you will not live a life of unbelief, God will surely fight for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I really believe many of us know the saying that says, givers never lack, right? You've heard that? Givers never lack. I am convinced that worshipers never lose. Amen. True worshipers are always victorious. Amen. In the same vein, worshipers would never lose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Number five, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That was a powerful thing the centurion did. Many of us know the story. There was that Roman centurion who went to Jesus and who needed healing. Amen? For a servant. And he says, Lord, send your word. Wow. He actually impressed God. Jesus was impressed. Right? He said, in all of Israel, I've never seen anything like this. Praise the Lord. He had great faith. The Lord said, in all of Israel, I've never seen faith as great as this. And what did Jesus do? He sent the word and healing flowed from Him. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. You need to have faith. That scripture also tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't. You can't please God without faith. It is so important. Always trust God. You want to live a life of faith. That scripture we have on the screen there, Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him and He will make all your paths straight, all your crooked paths straight. Amen? You just need to acknowledge God and give Him preeminence in your life. The children of God wandered through the wilderness because they wouldn't trust God, as we looked at earlier. They just wouldn't believe that God could do what He said He would do. And isn't that sad? The enemy is so deceptive. And that's why we have to pray against the deception of the enemy. Not only did God give the word that He was taking them into a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where they'll be fruitful, a land where they'll take dominion. He had delivered their enemies into their hands. They had actually gone out and seen the land. But somehow, their hearts were still hardened. Their hearts were still resisting what God was doing. I want to encourage you today, like that scripture says in Hebrews that we read. I want us to go back there. Hebrews chapter 4. And I want us to read it so that we can really receive this impression in our hearts. Hebrews 4 and verse 3. Now we who have believed enter rest, just as God said, so I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And in Numbers that I mentioned earlier, you can see God began to say there about how he had been so good to them. God had been their provider. God had been their grace. God had promised them. But in their hearts, they just believed God couldn't do what he said he would do. So this scripture tells us, praise God. For us, we believe that God is able to do what he said he would do. Amen. So today, if you hear his words, do not harden your hearts. Receive him and let him transform your lives in Jesus' name. God had sent them manna from heaven, even in their journey. And that's what happens. Even while we wait, God is good to us. Amen? God sustains us. Before we receive the promise, God comes through for us. He sustains us. He keeps us. If you look at the Israelites, they received manna from heaven to feed themselves. Their clothes, because of the presence of God, as they went on their journey, they didn't have to even change the clothes on their back. For 40 years, imagine that, wearing the same piece of clothing because of God's presence. Their shoes, their foot didn't get swollen. God sustained them. Amen? And God will sustain you even before you get to the promise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let no one waver. Believe God for what he said he would do. Amen. Rest is a weapon in the hands of God. You better believe it. Rest is a weapon in the hands of God. And the truest form of rest is to have faith. Believe completely that God is in control of your situation. Be it sickness in your body, be it a child you're praying for, be it concern about the future of your children or your grandchildren, just trust God completely. Have childlike faith. I want to use that language. Have childlike faith. I was thinking about this earlier, and I remember my children when they were younger. I like to just grab them, maybe up to 2 or 3 years old. I'll just grab them like so and throw them up in the air and catch them. Okay? I mean, just imagine the faith of a child. At that point, when you start doing that, a smile actually comes up on their face. And they're loving it. They enjoy it. How does this child know I'm strong enough to hold them on your way back? Right? How do you know you're not going to fall to the ground with me? Right? But they believe so much. Daddy is so strong. Daddy's able to throw me up. And I know for sure he's going to catch me on the way back. In fact, they smile while you're doing that. Amazing. I can't do that with my kids anymore. They're grown. Even my baby now wants to do grown-up stuff, wants to play golf with me and stuff. But, so that's the type of faith that God requires from us. That's the type of faith, if they had mixed that type of faith with the word they received, they would have entered into the promised land and found rest in Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's the word for us this morning. God wants us to enter his rest. This message is for someone. You've struggled enough. You've used your own strength long enough. You've fought long enough. Even your prayers are a struggle. You don't pray from a place of authority, from a place of understanding that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You don't pray or ask God to move in your situation from a place of understanding that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? You don't pray from the standpoint of knowing that the expectations of a righteous person shall not be cut off. What God has promised you, you will receive. Amen? Amen. This is what God is asking us to do today. And I pray that as we begin to take steps to do these five things with the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, we will enter into God's rest. Amen. And that rest simply means, just as God rested from His own works, we're going to rest from our works. In Jesus' name, no more labor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we're going to rest concerning our finances. We're going to rest concerning our future. Look, this word is so powerful. I tell you, in Deuteronomy, it talks about when you enter into that land of rest that I've released into your life, you're going to live in homes you did not build. Amen? I think that's somebody's portion in here. Amen? God's going to give you homes you did not build with your own hands. He's going to provide opportunities you did not create for yourself. Amen. God's going to move in your situation without you having to do work. Amen. For someone here, God has already taken care of the person you're going to marry. They don't know it yet. They're going to school right now, getting an education. They're getting to know the Lord right now. They don't know it yet, but God is prepping them for you. And He's just going to show up. He's not going to know what hit Him. And He's going to... May I marry you? And you're going to do like this and say yes. Amen. Amen. God's going to do so much for us. And this is really, really what God is saying today. That no matter what that situation is, He has gone forth. If you will receive it, He has finished the work. Okay? He has done the work and you just need to receive it. There was a portion of people who didn't receive it. And they never received their promise. If you believe and you receive it and trust God today, by prayer, receiving the promise, it is yours in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Many of you will testify of God's goodness, even in this house, in Jesus' name. I want to conclude. I believe this just summarizes everything I've said this morning. Your greatest need is not money. Your greatest need is not people. Your greatest need is God. Find God, and He'll restore you. Amen? Know Him for yourself. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released in the house, so that we will all come to know God for ourselves. When we have God, we have everything. And all that we need in God is in Christ Jesus. And so you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All of this rest we've been talking about, all these things that are in the promise, that are in Christ Jesus, we can't receive without knowing God. Someone really needs to rest today. Someone really needs God's rest, and you can't enter into that rest. You can't be delivered from that trouble, from that experience that's weighing you down, without receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For some of us, we just really need to make that commitment again. That mighty God, King of glory, forgive me. I had a heart of unbelief. And right now, I just want to surrender. I just want to return to you. I just want to trust you once again. Let all heads be bowed. We're going to pray for two categories of people. If you're one of those people who you're just thinking in your heart right now, I've been through so much trouble and I'm tired. I'm just tired. I need to rest. I need to enter into this rest, this place where God is my provider, this place where God takes over everything, this place where God is able to see me through every situation. I need that in my life. And many of us experience that. We're free. We're totally free. God has been good to us. So if you want that, I just want you to raise up your hand right now and I'll pray with you. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Just raise up those hands. Do not let anything keep you. As God speaks to your heart, just raise up those hands. And I know that God Almighty will bring you into the place of rest this morning. So, Father, we thank you. We just thank you. We have some people up in the front. We just bless your name, Father, because you love your people so much. Everyone you've touched, everyone you've embraced this morning, Father, they're making this decision to come to know you. And I pray, mighty God, that as we welcome them here, you welcome them also. In Jesus' name. Please keep your hands up, and I want to pray a prayer of salvation with you. So repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to enter into your rest. This morning, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I receive him as King over my life, and I give my life completely to him. From today onward, I will do God's will that I might enter into God's rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want us to pray also. Each one of us should just pray concerning that matter that you want to hand over to God. Praise the Lord. Just pray concerning that matter. You know it, and God knows it. But up until this point, you have struggled with God. I'm going to go find out what the doctor says. I'm going to go find out what I can find on the internet. I can take control of this situation myself. I can manipulate it for myself. But from today onward, you just want to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Surrender it right now. Surrender it right now. Father, we just bless your name. Your people just come before you. They want to rest, and so they surrender this situation even unto you, Jesus Christ. Thank you because you finished the work. Thank you because from today onward, they rest from their works and they receive freedom. They receive breakthrough. They receive, oh God, the answer to their prayers. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.